Blog Talk Radio.
Paranormal investigator and a camera guy. I have been doing paranormal
research and investigations for over 10 years now. I had my first experience, man, when I was 10, around that 10, 11 year frame. I was at a hotel and I had an encounter with a small boy, and I saw what I knew I saw. It was a young man, and ever since then, at that point, I had no clue really what it was. It was still new to me, and it was still something I wanted to experience more of. And the funny thing about that is with the paranormal is a lot of repressed situations and memories, where as soon as you start doing paranormal research and you start getting into more or less what this is, you know, it's like the mafia, this thing of a hearse, if you want to put it in that fashion. So I've been watching Sopranos lately, so I'm going to throw out a lot of mafia references, but it really is like this thing of ours. It is like, and once you do more research on this, you'd be surprised how many repressed memories you may bring up of, hey, I think I actually did have an experience. And for some deep inside the realm of your brain, you bring up an experience. Like, well, I don't know if I dreamed this or I don't know if I saw this. And out of nowhere comes this memory that maybe has been buried deep down inside you, or to the point where you just did not know really what it was. And that's why I love this research. And you learn new stuff every single day. You know, you can never be a full-on expert because you learn new stuff every day as you go along. So I've been doing research and investigations and whatnot for over 10 years now. I have to say for myself, I'm a tech geek. I love the trigger items. I love pretty much trying to communicate with a bygone era. I'm a huge Civil War buff. So any locations that involve the Civil War or anything of that nature, I'm definitely a huge fan of. And I will definitely try to find the lingo, the time period. It's anywhere on my map. I'm in somewhere that used to be a 1920s speakeasy. I like to research the lingo, research the what trademarks they would have used, what they would have done, how they would have dressed, what music did they listen to. I consider myself, and I hate using the word expert, but I love trigger items. That's where I consider myself my area of expertise, because I look and I love to do research on history. Because that's what we are as paranormal investigators. We are historians. Because love of history and paranormal adventure, paranormal investigation, exploration goes all in the same. Because with the love of history, you are finding more ways to communicate. And pretty much that's all we are. We are the modern-day Indiana Joneses, if you want to go that route. We're looking for treasure, but our treasure is not gold or silver or monkey heads that when you move it, all of a sudden here comes a giant ball that's going to kill you. You may find that in some locations. Go right ahead. But for me, my treasure is making contact with those who I'm trying to hear your story. Because we're investigators, we're historians, we're also storytellers. Because we find ways to tell them their stories to other people. So that's why I love the paranormal. Take that aside, I'm a huge nerd. I am an action figure guru. I love toys. If y'all are not turning this thing off, then I don't blame you. But I'm a huge action figure guru. I am a huge Ghostbusters fan. You have to be in this field. I love comics. I love comic cons. Anything that involves being a nerd, and I am a nerd, proud be that. So that is who I am. And through this show, what I try to do is I try to find subjects that would interest the nerd, the paranormal investigator, and the curious all in the same realm. So that's pretty much the guide and basis of this show. I have zero notes. I may have a little note every once in a while with some dates. But this is pretty much off the top of my head, out of my mouth, into your brain. This, I'm passing my knowledge to you. You are welcome. So, real quickly, my shout-outs, and then we will get into the show. First and foremost, for my shout-outs, I want to give a huge shout-out, of course, to the Twisted Realm. very, very, very proud to be a part of this project. It is a great TV show. On first season's on PBS, go to pbs.com/The Twisted Realm. Got some great locations on here. I'm very, very honored and very blessed to be a part of this project. Season 2 filming now is underway. So keep your eyes open, guys. When I say this is going to be one hell of a season, I'm not blowing smoke. This is going to be one hell of a season. Please go to facebook.com/The Twisted Realm and facebook.com/Twisted Paranormal Society. The Twisted Realm is put on by the investigators of the Twisted Paranormal Society. Great people. I love working with them. Every location we go to, it's a secret, but every location we go to, we have a great time. And literally, these guys are fantastic. And I'm very honored to be asked to be a part of this project and to help out. And, you know, I cannot say enough good things about the folks over at the Twisted Realm and Twisted Paranormal Society. They are great people. And if you ever are interested in the paranormal, if you have any questions, please feel free to ask. They are very knowledgeable, and they will definitely help you out. Now, like I said, Halloween is right around the corner. So if you're looking for something cool to do, the last few weekends of October, here you go. Halloween Scarefest at the Exchange. It is at the Exchange Hotel in Gordonsville, Virginia. Guys, when I say this place is haunted, this is legit haunted. This is actually, this hotel is ranked as the 15th most haunted location in the U.S. So not only are you going to a haunted attraction, you are at a haunted location. That's just awesome by itself. So I just want to give a quick shout-out. It's proud to present the historic Gordonsville. It is proud to present its 7th annual Halloween Scarefest on the grounds of the Exchange Civil War Medical Museum. And the address is 400 South Main Street, Gordonsville, Virginia. As all of your fears come to life as you encounter many creatures and spirits straight from your nightmares. The Exchange Hotel is ranked, like I said, as the 15th most haunted location in the U.S. So come on out and have fun for an active season. Now, guys, pay attention. Here are the dates. The dates are Friday, October 20th, and Saturday, October 21st. One weekend number one. Weekend number two is Friday, October 27th, and Saturday, October 28th. Now, here are the attractions. The attractions are the Trail of Terror and the Tent of Torture. Those are the outdoor jump-at-you scare events, the themes. Now, it's $10 per person for both. You are doing both for one money. And the times on that is 8:30 to midnight each night it is open. Now, if that may be a little bit too extreme for you, you don't like the jump out scares, you want the real stuff, then guess what? The Exchange has you covered. Also going on those four nights, they are doing a candlelight tour of the actual museum hotel itself, featuring ghost stories and tales of the paranormal as told by period dress reenactors by candlelight. Doesn't get much better than this, guys. And the cost of that is $10 per person. Children 8 through 12 is $3. And 7 years and under are free. Now, guys, here's the really cool part. For $10, well, for $20, you can do the haunted attractions and do the candlelight tours of the museum. I cannot even begin to imagine that kind of price anywhere else. Good price and really, really great, you know, location. When I say this place is haunted, guys, this place is haunted. Now, also, if you have any questions or any more info, please call 540-832-2944. Or go to HGI Exchange, EXCHANGE.com. Now, refreshments and snacks are available for purchase, and all the proceeds from this event go to the restoration of the interior of the depot, which is a wickedly active, haunted section of the whole property. So, guys, really fun time. Come on out. It is worth it and pretty much a really cool time. So we're going to go ahead and go now. Hold on for 1 second. And I'm going to take a quick little second, and then we'll get into our big thing is what was our obsession with horror.
The film which you are about to see is an account of the tragedy which befell a group of five youths, in particular, Sally Hardesty and her invalid brother, Franklin. It is all the more tragic in that they were young. But had they lived very, very long lives, they could not have expected, nor would they have wished to see as much of the mad and macabre as they were to see that day. For them, an idyllic summer afternoon drive became a nightmare. The events of that day were to lead to the discovery of one of the most bizarre crimes in the annals of American history, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
That is some pretty cool stuff right there. You cannot go wrong with pretty much the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. So, first and foremost, I'm new to Blog Talk, and I'm still trying to figure this out. Give me 1 second, and we will be good to go. All right. 1 sec. I'll be right back with you guys. All right. We are back. Very sorry for that. So I'm kind of going off script here, and let's get into it. Got my stuff finally. I'm still trying to get this stuff together. So, hey, first show, you're always going to have a little bumps in the road. So here we go. So what draws us to horror? You know, I remember as a kid going to Blockbuster, you go into movie gallery, you go to certain locations, and the first place I would always go to was the horror section. And the reason behind that is, tears being really slow, so sorry. The reason behind that is I've always been fascinated with horror. I've always been fascinated with the idea of what could be. You know, the idea of why am I wanting to watch this? I found myself always drawn to horror as a kid. You know, most kids, you know, I like my comedy. I like my, you know, my suspense. But I was always drawn to horror. And the biggest reason, really because of that, is you can relate. That's weird to say, but in horror, you can relate. And I say that as you look at the Frankenstein monster. I can relate more to the Frankenstein monster than I can relate to the angry villagers. Why is that? Because it's the unknown. People fear what they don't know. People judge and criticize what they don't know. So at the end of the day, I find myself more in touch with the Frankenstein monster than I do with the angry villagers. Because I don't like to judge. I don't like to classify that. You know, the unknown does not need to be justified in any way. Never. But what is horror? I know I'm jumping around, but what is horror? Now, horror never really became a genre until in the 1930s. And that was when horror really took off. Now, I know one of the earliest forms of quote-unquote horror was in 1895, the Dancing French Skeleton video. I don't know what you want to call it, back in those movies, but I know around the 1930s is when it really took off, because you have Dracula, 1931, Frankenstein, 1931, The Mummy, 1932, King Kong, 1933, and then you get more and more as you go along into the 60s and 70s. In 68, you have the ultimate zombie movie, Night of the Living Dead. 73, one of the scariest movies of all time, The Exorcist. 74, one of the most terrifying movies, The Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And 75, you're going to need a bigger boat, that is Jaws. So, horror has been around for a very long time. It's nothing new. It's really nothing new to horror that has not been done for almost 100 years. Now, we look at that. 1895, you have a dancing skeleton. Of course, you have Nosferatu that came out in the earlier times before, you know, Dracula and everything. However, look at it this way. Horror has been around since about 1895. Why? Why are we so fascinated with it? Now, my aspirations when it comes to studying horror, if I'm throwing out big words and I'm wrong, just let me know. Go to my Facebook page. Quick plug, Beyond the Spectrum. It's facebook.com/beyondthespectrum. You'll see the logo. Tell me if I'm using big words wrong, because I like to use big words to make myself look smart. Heck, who doesn't? But one thing I love about horror is the amount of attention to detail that goes into it. Now, ultimately, for me, my number one horror guy is Lon Chaney. You know, he's a guy that knew he would never be a leading man. And instead of playing supportive roles, trying to be the good guy, he wanted to be the bad guy, the monster. And this guy is a guy that literally bled for his craft. And, you know, the stuff that he did was outrageous. You know, for the getting in the character would involve spending hours upon hours carefully applying wax and grease paint, false teeth, hair pieces, strapping his limbs into harnesses. You know, he would play like amputee characters, or, you know, fitting a body sack on his back and being the Hunchback of Notre Dame. You know, this guy literally bled and fought and cried and sacrificed himself for his art to scare you. Do you try to tell me right now, if you watch that scene from Phantom of the Opera where he's unmasked, and you tell me right now that's not creepy as hell, and I will call you a liar. Now, unfortunately, many of Chaney's films have been lost, but two classics have survived: Hunchback of Notre Dame in 1923, and Phantom of the Opera in 1925. Now, Chaney's version of the Hunchback, Quasimodo, and the Phantom are outwardly grotesque. However, his performance conveys the inner character's dignity. Goes back to, once again, being judged and criticized. It is forcing the audience to empathize with with him, rather than simply being outraged at their deeds. You know, over the course of decades, Chaney became synonymous with scary, twisted movies and a master of the genre, really even before it was a genre itself. This guy literally bled for his art, for horror. This guy sacrificed to make you scream, to gross you out. This is in the 20s. Now, we bump up ahead. You look at a horror icon like Tom Savini. I think I'm saying his name right. Now, this guy is the modern-day Lon Chaney. Now, funny story about Lon Chaney is Lon Chaney never showed any of his makeup or any of his prosthetics, how he applied them, how he made them, because he made all of his own stuff. Even Lon Chaney Jr. never knew how his dad did. He really went with him to the grave. He was that passionate about his art. We look at Tom Savini. This man was a legend. He did his work on the films in the 70s and the 80s, such as Friday the 13th, 1980, Dawn of the Dead in 78, and Maniac in 1980, among others in the genre. This guy, literally, if you watch this stuff and you don't get grossed out, that is, that's saying something about you, bud. You know, this guy, horror was his middle name. But why? I just named off two of the greatest people in horror that have showcased our internal fears, showcased what we are afraid of, showcased pretty much what in the back of our minds scares us. Why? Well, according to a 2004 paper in the Journal of Media Psychology by Dr. Glenn Walters, the three primary factors to make a horror film alluring are tension, which is generated by suspense, mystery, terror, shock, and gore. Relevance, that may relate to the person's relevance or cultural meaningfulness in the fear of death. And unrealism. If you would do a survey during the Cold War, people that were prepared for a nuclear fallout, people that were ready for Cold War, you would get a very low number. But if you did a survey today about people who are interested and people who are ready for a quote-unquote zombie attack, then you would get a very, very higher number. Why? Because I think the biggest reason for myself is the sense of we are worth something. Take The Walking Dead. I'm not a huge fan of The Walking Dead, but it is pretty much, I don't want to use the phrase, it has put the fear of zombies in our brains, because we've had way better stuff than The Walking Dead. Blasphemy, I know. Curse me out on my Facebook page for not liking The Walking Dead, but I do not. And I am proud. But we have Night of the Living Dead, the remake, Dawn of the Dead, Day of the Dead, the Dawn of the Dead remake. You have all of these dead movies that have instilled the fear of zombies in us. We as people always need to feel that we can accomplish something and that we are worth something. Why? Because some people may not get the thrill in their life that they can make a difference. But you look at people that go online and play these zombie games, go on Call of Duty, play zombies. You look at all these kills that they make. And I've played some 12-year-olds on Call of Duty that have made me look terrible. But, you know, the thing of it is, going back to that, those 12-year-olds are the reason I don't play online no more. Because you can only curse out one or two 12-year-olds, then their mother gets involved and starts calling you a bad person, and they start arguing, and the whole party gets kicked off, and everybody's calling you an a-hole, and then next thing you know, your inbox is flooded. Anyway, getting back to the subject, the zombies. We want to feel like we can make a difference. If the world was overrun by zombies today, we can look around and find a weapon out of something. You'd be surprised how many people go through their daily life and they are faced with a situation that they cannot control, that they have to make a fast decision and they're left with what's going on. What am I doing here? What can I do? But if you would approach that person and say, hey, there's a horde of zombies outside, we need a weapon. Right then and there, you can find something. Well, I can use this hammer. I can use this wrench. This wrench is something I can use, all because of horror. Our deepest fears drive us. If you don't believe me, go walk in the middle of the night. Walk down this. Imagine yourself walking down a deserted street. It's 11 o'clock. Dog has to pee, or you're restless, so you figure going for a nice, relaxing stroll through the countryside. You hear a rustle in the grass. There's no wind. Maybe it was a squirrel. Could have been a raccoon. Maybe it was a deer. Then you hear the rustling of the leaves get faster. Faster. Start to heighten your pace. Blood starts to pump a little bit. But you're telling yourself, no, that can't be it. My mind is playing tricks on me. Next thing you know, you find yourself at a dead sprint. You are hauling towards the nearest location that shows life. Why? Because you're afraid. And you know what? It's at that very moment that you felt most alive. Because you're afraid. Now, the fight or flight scenario. Most people, when they go see a horror movie, whether it's a zombie movie, whether it's, you know, you have the classic ones. You have the monster movies. You have the zombie movies, which I don't count as monsters. They're people. They're just ragu brain, but they're people. And I'm talking about 1960s zombies, not just ones that can beat you at a dead sprint. That would be my luck. Zombies attack, here comes Usain Bolt. Now, fair fact about me, if you ever run across me and you see me running, I mean a dead sprint running, you better follow me because whatever direction I'm running away from, is hell is coming from that direction. So I'm talking about the original zombies. You know, the Shaun of the Dead zombies. You have your monsters, you have your poltergeists, you have your demonics, you have your ghosts, which are all separate. But we pay billions of dollars to go be afraid. I think it has to do a lot with the fight or flight scenario. What would you do in this situation? Take poltergeist. If your house turned into a giant ghost factory, what would you do? That's the other thing. We like to challenge ourselves as people. And as a people, we love to challenge and to experiment what we are. How can I get out of this? That's why people play those puzzle games. Because we want to find out how we do this. How can I survive? How can I get to the point where I'm safe? How can I escape this room? We want to try to express ourselves to fear because I think it was Jim Morrison, and it is Jim Morrison, if you expose yourself to fear, fear is no more, you are free. We want to express ourselves to our deepest fear so we ourselves are not afraid anymore. The thing of it is, at the end of the day, we are all human. We all have a conscience. We all have a brain. All about how you use it. And I think we use horror as a way to cope with our developmental skills. You try to escape the monster. But if you want to look at it from a psychological point of view, what is your monster? Maybe your monster may be alcoholism, it's drugs, porn, violence. Everybody has a personal monster. Maybe that's why we attract ourselves to horror, because we need to escape our own personal monster. If I can defeat a horde of zombies, if I can, you know, blow up Jaws using a helium tank, then I can overcome anything. That's why we do these video games. Resident Evil, Silent Hill, play zombies on Call of Duty. We want to overcome. We want to show that we can do this. We don't want to be crying in the corner, crying for our mommies, which a few of us will. We want to try to base ourselves on our fears. Now, another theory that I read online, and it's with the same doctor. Direct your hate mail to Dr. Glenn Walters for this next statement. This next statement has nothing to do with Beyond the Spectrum with Brandon Johnson. I am absolved of this next statement. Most often, men like scary films as date movies because women are more likely to seek physical closeness when they are scared, and the men can show off their strength and bravery. And Walters calls this simply, quote, unquote, the cuddle effect. Before you direct your hate message at Beyond the Spectrum, I think that is BS. I have run across many women in my time that make my love of horror look like Pee Wee Herman. There are some extremely, extremely how do I put this in a nice way, horrific females that have a love for horror. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with having that love for the unknown. Another thing that I think to me is fascinating. Most people like to study insects. Most study histories. Most study whatever they want. Is everything is based, some of these stories are based off of real events. Real events. Now you look at the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Psycho, Silence of the Lambs. Based loosely, every single character from Norman Bates to Buffalo Bill to Leatherface is based off of one person. That is Mr. Ed Gein. Now, Ed Gein, of course, the butcher, the madman of Plainfield, who I think he only murdered two women, but he would dig up the graves, he would exhume the corpses, he would make lampshades, he would make all this stuff. Horror took that. You look at, you know, when they made Psycho. And for the love of me right now, I have no idea why Alfred Hitchcock. There you go. See, I love that. I love when I can't think of something, and boom, there it is. Welcome to radio. But they took the events of a real person and made it into three of the most iconic horror figures of all time. It is the study of the human theory. Let's break this down a little bit. You look at Psycho. Norman Bates' love affliction for his mother. He was a genuine mama's boy. And I mean that in a decent sense, because guess what I am too. So was Ed Gein. Leatherface. Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Of course, now Ed Gein did not go around with the chainsaw. That probably would have been more in the news. But with the flaying of the flesh, making lampshades, making chairs, making soup bowls out of human skulls, decorating his house with heads, having females, which are mostly his victims, hung upside down in his barn, field dressed with the head cut off. There's Leatherface. Buffalo Bill. Same way, human transformation. You look to seek what you don't have in something else. When Ed Gein lost his mother, he sought that motherly guide. Now, he loved his mom to the point where when the police searched his home, among all the ghastly array of things that they found in his house, they came across a boarded up door, and when they opened it, there inside was his mother's room, beautifully preserved. The wallpaper was falling off, but it was preserved. Everything the way Mrs. Gein left it was the way Eddie kept it. Transformation. If that doesn't fit Buffalo Bill, and I'm not going to go into that kind of transformation. You guys know what it is. Do not make me say it. I'll put that Goodbye Horses song on my Facebook page, and y'all can dance around all you want. Just do not tell me about it. But that was pretty much the effect that these horror icons are based off of a real person. A series based on true events are more terrifying than anything Hollywood can create. You look at The Exorcist. Now, I'm not going to get into demonic, anything involving the word demonic. That is not my per se as a person or a paranormal investigator. However, when it comes to movies, I will gladly partake. Based off of true events. And it makes you wonder, well, can this happen to me? Will this happen to me? You never know. I mean, you're honestly, you never know. Let's go to monsters. Now, who here among me, I want everybody to raise your hands, because mentally I'm seeing you guys raise your hands. How many of you guys have ever jumped inside of a pool? It could be at the YMCA, it could be at your buddy's house, it could be at a hotel at the beach, it could be at a hotel at a family reunion where you're trying to avoid everybody. It could be the kiddie pool you bought Toys R Us for $5 because you're young kids, a little pain in the butt, and you can't afford to take them to the beach, so you bring the beach to him, you jump in the pool, no matter which pool it is. And you're in the water, you're splashing around, you're enjoying yourself. But you have that irrational fear that for some reason or another, there's a giant great white shark right behind me. Has anybody else ever had that irrational fear? To the point where you go from a nice, peaceful swim to, like, a cat running out of the water, splashing away, you trying to get to the ladder, you're pushing little kids aside. That irrational fear is another thing. Because that goes back to that one point, unrealism. There's no way that could happen. But what if it could? What if a giant gorilla stalked the Empire State Building? I'm just saying, they find new stuff every single day. You know, you have the fear. And Jaws is a true fear. I mean, millions of people avoided the water after watching Jaws. I mean, that is a true thing. And that's another thing. Scary events that are true. I mean, you look at Jaws. Jaws is one of my favorite movies. But when that dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, that would terrify me more if I was even in my bathtub. If I'm in my bathtub and I hear that music, I have this irrational fear that there's a great white shark in my tub. And it's a small tub. Just so you guys know. But that fear makes us stronger. The whole thing of what doesn't kill us makes us stronger. That's probably a bad phrase to use for this subject. But yet, it is, because overcoming our fears, that sense of gratification, that sense of accomplishment, we've conquered our fears, we are not afraid anymore. We go to the point where we love this. You know, me, myself, I'm a big fan of horror. You know, I love scaring people, and I'm going to have this opportunity to scare people next weekend. Please come out to the Exchange Scare Fest. But the self-gratification, I'm going to make you afraid. You know, and it's why you have some of the best directors in Hollywood do horror. Eli Roth, M. Night Shyamalan, you had George Romero. And I don't really consider him horror, but you have Tim Burton, who... if I could live in any kind of a world, it would be a Tim Burton world. I'm a diehard Tim Burton fan. So, you have these people that make their living off of making you afraid. And it was also What was the word I'm thinking of here? Of course, I'm on the radio. I'm live. People are listening. I can't remember the words. It's a sense of coming to. Use that. Rite of passage. There you go. Wasn't a word, but it's a phrase. Rite of passage. You find yourself a young child. You have two decisions. You can either go and watch the movie with the pretty bunnies and the flowers and the dancing leprechauns and the whole, you know, everybody lives happily ever after, holding hands around the campfire, singing Kumbaya, or you can go with your older brother and see a whole town overrun by zombie mutating beavers. I'm not sure where that came from. Let's go with the whole zombie, you know, taking over a town. What are you going to do? Secretly, you may not want to go see the zombies. You may want to go see the dancing happy leprechauns. But on the other hand, you want to prove to your older brother that, you know what, just because I'm 12 years old does not mean I'm a little boy. I'm a man. Rite of passage. Being able to sit through these movies and not be afraid. Of course, you have the nightmares later on, but that's just a whole different story, and that involves counseling and wetting your bed. Also, not a problem with beyond the spectrum. You wet your bed, I'm very sorry for you. But we've run across all of the things I've talked about over the last hour, from irrational fear to rational here. What will never happen to me, what can happen to me. At the end of the day, I think our true love and acceptance for horror is the thought that we can overcome this. We can overcome the bad guy. We can overcome the situation that we're put in. You know, we can overcome, you know, you have your situations where, let's say, you're Barbara in Night of the Living Dead, and you're stuck inside this farmhouse, you have to get out, or, you know, you are whatever, you insert your favorite horror movie. You are there, you're in a haunted house, and you have to escape. Or you have to overcome, you know, you've just been bitten by the werewolf, and you have to overcome yourself. Can you yourself become a monster? And actually, in doing this review, which I did in one day, I did review for this show. Can't already tell that, then you don't know this, but it was in Shutter Island where, I think I got the quote correct, it said, either live forever a monster, or die a good man. I think that is what the phrase really is. And I'm sorry about that. But we find ourselves in a generation where we are surrounded by horror every single day. And I never get political in my show. You will see that. But with the recent horror in Las Vegas, the constant horror everywhere we go, where we are faced to live in a world with horrible people. We are faced to live in this world with people that want to create real fear. Not the fear you can walk out of the theater on. Not the fear that you can turn off the TV. Not the fear that you can fast forward to the end and everybody survives. But the constant fear that something may happen to me at any moment of any day. And if we get into that fear, then we are no longer living our lives. If we give into that fear, then we have given up our freedom and given up our lives. Because, you know, we can't make decisions for ourselves anymore. We cannot make, you know, we cannot do what we want to do. And that alone by itself is horror. Now, real quickly, I wanted to go through some of my all-time, well, the one movie that I actually felt bad for the bad guy. In every horror movie, you want bad guys to die or be destroyed, or, you know, the sun comes up and turns into dust. But good directors can take a horror movie and give you the most despicable, disgusting person as a bad villain, and you want to see them destroyed, but then you feel sorry for them. You feel, well, maybe they should survive. And that is The Devil's Rejects by Rob Zombie, because at the end of that movie, they're all in the Cadillac and they're facing the police and that shoot off. You want to feel sorry for them. You want to feel, you know, hope they make it out of this. Hope they survive. And yeah, I don't know why I threw that in there, but that's the one situation for me that I found that I really wanted the villain to live. Yeah. That's pretty much my outlook on horror, is in what I feel is the basis of why we are drawn to it, because we are drawn to the unknown. We are drawn to what we don't understand. We want to be afraid. That's why we pay to go to haunted locations, haunted attractions, both of the instigated horror and paranormal, the jump-out-at-you things, the haunted houses, and the real things, the real locations that are terrifying. That's why we, when Halloween comes around, we embrace the horror. We dress our kids up as Jason and Freddy, and even more terrifying, the characters from the movie Frozen, which are ultimately terrifying. And I'm going to go ahead and call it. This year, you will have Moana, people coming to your door. You will have the girl from Suicide Squad, Harley Quinn, and you will have more Frozen characters knocking at your door wanting some candy. That is terrifying. That is true horror. But we as a nation love to be afraid. And at the end of the day, you know, that's what gives us by. That's why it's dark outside, it's dark. Let's come on a scary movie. Let's try to overcome this fear. Let's try to show that we're not afraid. Because it's also an ego trip. It's a power trip. I'm not afraid. Yeah, sure, I'll go in that haunted ass by myself. I'm not afraid. Yeah, I peed myself. What of it? But I think also, and this goes back to the point about, like, Las Vegas and the terrible events that happened there, is we live in a world of constant horror, constant terror, stuff more terrifying than Hollywood could create. I think we go to these movies and pay money to see movies like It and Annabelle because it's an irrational fear that can distract our mind from rational fear. You know, we live in fear every single day of pretty much, am I going to go to this concert? Am I going to be okay? You know, or am I going to be fine walking down the street? I can go ahead and go and watch a movie and be terrified, and my mind forgets the real horror that's going on outside. I think we embrace that. We embrace the fear to the point where it is a mental escape from true fear, true horror. So, kind of wrap everything up, and it has been all over the place. Like I said, I have not done a podcast radio show in God knows how long. I have not done. I do occasional Facebook Live stuff, but this is on a different, more upgraded platform. So I'm all over the place. I really do not have any kind of set structure. I don't have a list written down. I'm going to discuss this. I am all over the place. So if you love the show, please go to Beyond Spectrum with Brandon Johnson. Show me your love. If you hated the show, then show your love somewhere else. but no, I mean, I hope everybody enjoyed the show. And like I said, for being the first time doing this, I want to appreciate the shares. I really want to appreciate, thank you, Ryan, for giving me a platform to do this. And I hope everybody enjoyed my rambling session. That's all these things are. And I'm not going to go ahead and talk about next week's show. That is going to be a surprise. I have to keep my shows till about the day or so before of what I'm going to talk about. It makes it more suspenseful that way. Let you wonder what he's going to talk about. I don't want to give you too much of a heads up. What's the fun in that for me? So go ahead next time, next Tuesday night at 8 o'clock, grab yourself a beer, grab yourself a glass of wine, Pepto-Bismol, whatever you need to get through this show. And join me again. And like I said, again, big shout out to Ryan for letting me chance to do this. A huge shout out to the Twisted Realm, Twisted Paranormal Society. And be sure you go to the first weekend of Scarefest at the Exchange. To get a chance to talk to Angel, she's run the place. She is a sweetheart. And I want to give a thank you to Angel for letting me do some of the graphic work for the advertising. A lot of the pictures and posters you've seen, she gave me the chance to work on those. So thank you very much for that chance. And I think on the way out, guys, I'm going to put on a little Stone Sour, and we're going to send you guys off right. So, like I said, guys, thank you all for listening, and be sure you check in next Tuesday at 8 o'clock just to find out what the hell am I going to talk about. What that should have been what this show is. What the hell am I going to talk about with Brandon Johnson? But Beyond the Spectrum just sounded a lot cooler. So, guys, put on a little music, sending everything off right, and y'all have a good evening, and stay safe.
If you take a step towards me, you will take my breath away, so I'll keep you close and keep my secrets safe. No one else has ever loved me, no one else has ever tried. I never understood how much I could.